You're listening to Hey Bitches Podcast, episode 117. Hey Bitches, what is up you guys? It's your girl Carly. Welcome back to Hey Bitches Podcast. Hope you guys are having an incredible day today. Okay, if you guys have been listening along to all of the episodes this month, you would know that every single episode this month is dedicated to Pride Month, to bringing people on the podcast to share their own experiences, everything in between. And today, I'm really excited for this episode because we are doing a spectrum episode. And so when I was doing a lot of research for all of these episodes, I came across so many terms, identities, sexualities, all of that, that I wanted to give voices to, have people to come on the platform to speak their truth, to do all of those things. And today, I am bringing a lot of people onto the podcast for you guys. These next four episodes are all incredible, packed guest episodes who are sharing everything from being two-spirit to pansexual to queer, everything in between, and I'm very excited to talk about it. So without further ado, let's get into the episode. You guys, I am very excited to kick off this episode. We are talking everything under the sun. You also already have probably heard me intro it already, so I'm really excited to introduce our first guest. I would love for you to share your name, what you identify as, and as also your, I guess, identified sexuality.
Amazing. My name is Aberdeen. I use he, him, and they, them pronouns. I use them both interchangeably, so you can use one, you can use the other, or you can use both. And I am transgender, I'm non-binary, I'm like gender fluid, and I'm somewhere on the bisexual or queer spectrum. There's many, many terms I identify with, and I find power in identifying with more than one, because if there's anything I've learned over the year, it's that all this gender and sexuality stuff is hella confusing, and I definitely cannot be contained to just one identifier.
Okay, absolutely. I love that. And I feel like you totally hit that on the head. And it's a big reason as to why we're doing these episodes is because there, like, you don't have to be one thing. There's a million things, and there is so much going on at all times that, you know, you can be one, you can be 18. Who knows? So I'm excited to have you on.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
So something that I really wanted to speak to you about was being non-binary. And this is something that I've had a couple of people like in my life who identify as non-binary. And I would love to kind of like chit chat about that today, especially too, because I would love to get into, you also have like an incredible drag career. So I would love to hear about, you know, how you got to the place of identifying in these multiple different identities. And then also too, I would just love to selfishly hear about how your drag career is going.
Yeah, well, I would love to spill. So I guess I'll take you, you know, back to the beginning. In my childhood, I was just like a really weirdly butch child, and I never was really into girl things, and I never really was into boy things. I just liked to read. So I was kind of like, I guess a tomboy is what you would describe, like a younger kid that just like didn't really conform to one or the other. But I was also really into like punk and heavy metal. And I really loved like, oh, all these like effeminate guys that wear makeup, but they're still like manly men. And they've got these like amazing blown out dudes, but like everyone still really respects them and looks up to them. So basically I came to the conclusion, well, I'm definitely like not a girl because all the other girls my age did this, this, and this. And I was not like that at all. And I especially was horrified at the thought of growing up to be a woman. I was like, oh, no, no, that is not my future. Wasn't sure what it was, but it was not going to be that. You know, as a kid, like, you don't really get to know what it is to be transgender. You don't really hear, like, non-binary. I just had no idea, like, these words even existed or, like, the definition of them. Or any, like, representation that I saw of trans people was, like, really awful jokes in movies and stuff. And so I'm like, okay, that's not what I am. But I came to the conclusion, if I'm not a girl, like, I must be a boy. That's how it is. That's like, if I'm not one, I must be the other. And then it was actually through meeting people, and I think a lot of it was like through online, like Tumblr, stuff like that, I came across the term agender, which I think is a little bit out of date now, although I do know some people that still identify with it, but I think it's just more of like a medical term, just having like a lack of a gender. I thought, okay, well, maybe maybe that's it. So when I was around 15, I had my first like coming out, and I chose the name that I go by now. And I asked people to start using they, them pronouns for me, to which absolutely in like what, 2013, 2014, everybody said, oh, hell the fuck no, I'm not doing that. maybe just like it was before the time, but that kind of just led me to this, on this journey where I knew that I thought about my gender more than anybody else did. I was really different than other people around me. And I always found myself like comparing, and especially like I had this absolute like terror, in regards to my future, like thinking of growing up and what I would be like. So it definitely led me to like a really dark place. Like no, you know, 15-year-old should be like super suicidal and like wanting to take their life and stuff. But I couldn't imagine growing up because I never had anyone to look up to that was of a similar gender to me or whatever. But then through like, yeah, just more and more research. And actually, thankfully, my mom is like really supportive, and she really fought for me to be able to access a lot of resources as a minor. Basically started taking testosterone, top surgery, hysterectomy. I was like, all right, like I'm going to go live my most manly life. But then as I got into my 20s, I started to question, okay, well, what does it mean to be a man? And like, what is a man and what is a woman? The things that I thought about masculinity, like the attributes you wanted, stuff like bravery, honesty, trustworthiness, like willingness to protect others, like that's what we see men as wanting them to do. But shouldn't everybody have those traits? Isn't that a trait you would want in everybody? So then I'm just like spiraling again, because I'm like, oh my gosh, I thought I had it all figured out, and now I don't want to be a man, because when I look at men, they terrify me. And I just want to be a person. And then once I kind of started to think about that, I realized like, okay, there's definitely a lot more to being trans than just starting off as one gender and ending as the other. I think in the past, the terms like FTM and MTF were a lot more common, which stands for female to male or male to female. But I think a lot of the reason that they're phasing out is, and a lot of the reason that I personally like never identify with the term female to male, even though, you know, according to my doctor, that's what I am. I never was a female and I'll never be a male. So that term is just like completely like, it's almost like it's made up to me. Like it's like another language when I'm looking at it, because it's so bizarre to me that somebody could look at me and only just see how I was to like what I want to be, when really in my head, there's like so many roller coasters of like ups and downs of like where I am in terms of my gender. But to be honest, after like 8 or 9 years of thinking about it, I'm kind of in this, like, I refer to it jokingly to my friends as I'm in living a post-trans life, where I'm not trans anymore. I'm actually just a normal person like everybody else. And I think like coming to the realization that I am, I think non-binary is the term that I most strongly identify with, having identified as agender, gender fluid, trans masculine. I think non-binary is the term that I identify the most with, because it's a non-quantifier. It means nothing. It means everything. It can mean so many things. I can wake up and one day it means this thing, and the next day it means this. And, you know, you had mentioned the drag as well. I think also starting to do drag, which was like a whole nother like roller coaster, really helped identify my non-binary identity, because for so long I wanted to be a man, like a manly man, really masculine. I dressed in like, I don't know, like Birda Boy clothes. I had like really short hair. I didn't dye it for a while, took out like a lot of my piercings, was just really trying to be this person that I thought, if I'm not a girl, I must be a boy. And so I refused to wear makeup. All my like friends, when they're like doing their makeup, they'd be like, oh, let me put a little bit on you. And I was like, absolutely hell no. And I think in allowing myself to finally be in a place where I could be vulnerable and wear makeup and put on essentially like another face and really explore my gender through the character of Gemini was like a great, great help for me. Because even when I first started doing drag, I identified with she, her pronouns in drag, and I would allow people to refer to me in drag as she, even though it brought forth this like disgusting feeling in me, because my whole life when I'm used to being called she, like in a hateful way and like totally recoiling and like curling up into a little ball inside when I hear it. But then because people perceive me as femme because I have makeup on, then I have to just let them put me through this, even though obviously to most people, when they see me in drag, they don't know all of this like traumatic backstory. So when they call me she, they're calling me she because they think that's a drag queen. So in the past year, I think it's been actually like just about a year since I started like fully using they, them pronouns in drag and like enforcing it as a way to empower myself. Because if somebody looks at me in drag and thinks, yeah, that's like a feminine person and calls me she, they are wrong. I don't quite know how to explain, but it just doesn't make sense to me because I'm not trying to emulate femininity really when I am in drag. It's just a further expression of who I am, and who I am is non-binary. that was a whole giant tangential spiel. So thank you for letting me go on that. But I think that is like the Cliff's Notes version of how I went from being like basically a girl to a boy to somewhere in between to a non-binary boy who dresses like a girl for money.
Okay. Honestly, I love that entire tangent because I think it touched on so many topics and gave a lot of people more understanding, including me, to like the actual whole world of being non-binary. And I think that in the sense of the word, I feel like you are very much so like the epitome of it. And I love how you said that when you were like thinking about, oh, I want to be a boy, and these are all the traits that I want, like, and how I think about like honesty, loyalty, that kind of thing. But then you're like, wait a damn minute, like this is not just like a man thing. This is an everyone thing. And I love how you kind of went through that process to then become like it, and I guess identify in all of these different identities under the spectrum, because like I said, I truly feel like your story and all of that is truly like the epitome of non-binary. And I think it's super interesting, and I'm very excited that you were on here to share that.
Yeah. And I think it's like really important to note too, that like my story is just one of so, so many. Like for me personally, I was incredibly privileged to have access to medical transition, like getting testosterone and top surgery, like literally when I was like a little minor teen. So when I grew up to be like pretty androgynous. And I think when people look at me, they think that I'm non-binary. But especially in this past year, I've been referring to it as the trandemic, because so many people that I know are coming out, which is amazing. I think people are just having like a lot more time to reflect. Like, for example, I know quite a few people who are in their 40s who their entire life presented as a man. I know one that was identified as a gay man, and one who identified as like just like a fully straight guy. And the straight guy is married, and in their 40s, they're now coming out and saying, you know what? I'm not a man. Like, there is more to me. I'm non-binary. And those people may never choose to seek like any further transition, or they might like try and get on hormones tomorrow. But either way, like the non-binary identity is just like so all-encompassing, because there is so many ways. Like really the only quantifier to be non-binary is just to be like, yeah, I'm non-binary.
Okay, cool. We love that. But yeah, I think that all of that is incredible. And like you said as well, it definitely, like, nobody's two stories are the same, especially when it comes to sexuality, identification, all of that, which is why I really wanted to have this episode and have people like you to come on and to share your own experiences and how everything, you know, means to you. And I'm very happy that we were able to do this. And before we go, I would love for you to share with the people where they can find you on social media, anything that you're doing right now that the people can support you on, any of that. Plug yourself.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Thank you. Well, my Instagram is at Need Reba. It is my name, Aberdeen backwards. And if any of you, hey bitches, are Edmonton locals, my drag group is going to be doing outdoor shows every Friday night at Ezio Park downtown at 7 o'clock. Friday downtown, Ezio, 7 o'clock, every Friday all summer, drag in the park. So maybe I will see you there.
Oh my God, wait, really?
Yes, we did them last summer, kind of rotating park to park, but we found that Ezio is just like a good central location. It's totally free to watch. We have a different cast and different host every week. And we have an even bigger and better sound system than last summer. So...
Oh my God, I love that. My best friend is coming to Edmonton on Friday and she is a drag queen stan. So I'm going to text my group chat immediately after this.
I would love to see you there. That'd be so fun.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you. And I look forward to listening to all the rest of the conversations.
Absolutely. You guys, next up, we have Heather on the podcast. Heather, I would love for you to introduce yourself to the people and also share your sexual identity, what you identify as, your preference, all of that.
My name is Heather. I identify as pansexual, but I typically just go by queer as the overarching umbrella for myself.
Perfect. I'm really excited to have you on here today to talk about pansexuality and queerness and all of that, because this is a term that I think that we have been hearing a lot more, pansexuality. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just hearing it a lot more, but I just feel like a lot more of my friends are talking to me and being like, yeah, like I'm seeing this person, they're pansexual or I'm pansexual or XYZ. And I would love to kind of have a conversation about pansexuality, what that kind of means to you, all of that. So first things first, I guess, I would love to know how you kind of came to the decision that you were pansexual. Was it something that you like literally knew from the start, or is there a story?
I guess I would say for myself, you know, I only came out about a year ago, but I would say like, you know, most of my life, I knew that I definitely wasn't straight, but I think, you know, just to go along with, you know, societal norms, I definitely just portrayed myself as straight. And I will openly say that I did marry a man. And then, you know, I just realized that I really wasn't happy. And, you know, I just, you know, felt like it was almost time to just, you know, be my authentic self, because I feel like, you know, the way that I found that, you know, I obviously not straight, but I wouldn't say like I'm attracted to any, you know, specific gender more so. And that was just kind of how, and, you know, I didn't really know exactly what pansexual had meant until, you know, my current partner had explained it to me. But when they did, it just really made more sense. And, you know, I just think a lot of people think that being pansexual is the same as being bisexual, but it's not. But yeah, I think, you know, for me, it was just like, this is the person, you know, like that I'm attracted to. And it doesn't matter to me, you know, if they identify as male or female or non-binary. And yeah.
Okay. I love that. You kind of touched on the way you see the difference between like bisexuality, for example, and pansexuality. I would love for you to kind of like chit chat more about that. I know that you kind of said it doesn't really matter their gender or their identity. I would love to kind of know. So if those aren't factors, like explain to the people, I guess, what pansexual means.
I guess I would say, you know, being pansexual is being attracted to all genders, or like regardless of what somebody's gender is. So I think like for each person, it could be different if you're pansexual, I would say. But I guess like in some sense, you would be almost gender blind. So that's not the main factor of it.
Absolutely. I've heard like a couple people say that it's kind of like you're attracted to them in terms of like personality and stuff like that, and it just doesn't matter what gender they are. Is that kind of accurate?
Yeah, I would say that's more so it. You know, you're attracted to them regardless of their gender identity, and whether that's their personality and whatever that looks like.
Okay, cool. I think that that is the main reason why I see a lot more people in my life, I think, identifying as pansexual recently, because I think a lot of people are kind of like, oh, well, I can like a lot of people, but they're like discovering, I guess, the word, I feel like, because it just is, pansexuality, I feel like, is just so open. Like, it's just so fluid, and you can just, you know, it's very individualistic and up to you.
Right. And I think, you know, like, and that's the key thing, right? I think you could be pansexual and you could be attracted to, you know, a cis male or female, or you could be attracted to a transgender individual or an agender individual, or, you know, someone who doesn't, you know, a non-conforming individual. So I think it's just really whatever that looks like for you. You know, I guess my understanding of bisexual is, you know, being attracted to the people who have the same gender as yourself, so whether that's male or female.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you spoke earlier about being married and now having a partner. Is that the same person or it's not?
No, it's not.
Okay. I would love to, if you're comfortable, to talk through, like, you know, did you come out and you were like, this isn't for me anymore? And then you kind of discovered pansexuality and now you're with your partner? Or
when I was fresh out of high school and in college, you know, I had met a person and I had always been, you know, attracted to them, and kind of like life had gone on, and, you know, like we had kind of always kept touch over the years, and like, you know, I had very strong feelings for that person, but, you know, we hadn't been in touch. And so anyways, I had my son with someone, and then his dad passed away and I had gotten married, and it, you know, then the pandemic kind of happened, and me and my partner now, we had reconnected, and, you know, it was just very apparent to me that those feelings were still there. And I don't know, it just kind of like in my relationship with, you know, the cis male, it just like, I just kind of got to the point where it was like, ooh, having man hands on me, you know, and like things like that. Uh-huh. But those feelings were kind of like always still there with my partner. So, you know, I left my marriage and I'm with my partner now, but I will say that, you know, like in the last year, like coming out as pansexual and identifying as queer has been very freeing for me. Like, I've had so many people say, like, you just genuinely look happy. Like, you know, it's nice to see you like living out who you really are. And I think, you know, not to be like that person who says coming out of the closet and stuff like that, but like, I think like, you know, coming out has been huge for me. And, you know, I just think back to like being in high school and being part of like an LGBTQ group as an ally and stuff, because I wasn't, you know, out then. And I think, you know, like if pansexuality wasn't, you know, a term now, I don't still think I would identify as bisexual. And I don't think I would have been, you know, I don't think I would have, I don't know if I would have came out still. Like maybe I would have came out as queer, but I just feel like pansexual makes a lot more sense for myself and like who I'm attracted to and stuff like that.
Absolutely. I think that it's so funny because I was also in the same situation. Like in high school, I was in like a bunch of LGBTQ like groups and all of that as an ally, and then later came out in life too. And I think it's so funny because I actually know a couple people who same thing. And I'm like, it's so funny how it's just foreshadowing. We come out later. Right. We're not actually allies. Well, we are, but not like that.
I know. And it's like, you know, when I came out to like my friend, like my best friends and everything, my best friends were like, we knew you were gay in high school. Like, this is like, and you know, like when I started like coming out to people, just everybody was like, oh, I already knew that. Like, you know, even my friends, like my husband was like, oh yeah, I knew she was gay when I met her. Or like, I knew she was gay when I went to the wedding. I'm like, cool, cool. So nobody decided to say anything before then. Got it.
And it's so funny though, because I hear, even having these conversations, like I hear this exact same thing over and over and over again. It's like everybody else being like, we kind of knew. I was like, what? Like, why didn't y'all tell me?
Right. I agree.
I love that. I also would love to kind of know, you said that you identify as pansexual and as queer. I would love to know kind of your take on the word queer and how you kind of identify with it.
You know, I think it just I think personally, you know, I guess it's not really like the stigma around identifying as pansexual, but I think like, to me, it just sometimes can feel exhausting trying to explain to people what pansexuality means. Like, because so many people are just familiar with like, you know, lesbian, gay, bisexual, you know, trans, that like, it just, for me, I think is easier just to identify as queer, because I think depending on who you talk to, queer could mean different to anybody that you speak to that's part of the community. So I think for me, like, you know, if I said I'm queer, it would just basically be almost the same as what I would describe if I was to describe what, you know, being pansexual is. But I think for me, it's just easier to say like, you know, like, yeah, I'm queer, or yeah, I'm gay. Cause I, you know, I would never identify as a lesbian. But yeah, I think like for me, queer would just be like that umbrella. So I guess like if I was talking to someone and I didn't feel like explaining what pansexual meant, I would probably just say that I'm queer instead, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, for sure. We had somebody on the podcast who kind of deep dove into like what they identify as queer and all of that. And it's kind of along the same type of lines. And I like it as well, because it's kind of just like it's an all-encompassing term it's an all-encompassing term of just like you doing whatever you want with your sexuality, which I really like.
Yeah. And I think, again, it totally depends who you talk to, right? Like, I think, you know, some people you talk to might say that it just means something else specifically, but I think for everybody, it's different.
I completely agree. Before we go, I would love for you to share with the people where they can find you on social media, anything that you're kind of doing right now that they can help you with. I would love for you to pitch yourself.
Ooh, on social media, my Instagram is @lilmamabee__. Nothing really exciting right now. I mostly just share, you know, I guess things about my long distance relationship with my partner and promote body positivity.
Okay, I love that. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
You guys, next up, we have Diana on the podcast. What's up? Introduce yourself and also share your pronouns and also what your, I guess, sexual orientation / identity is.
Hi, I'm Diana. I'm from Ontario, Canada, and I am a creative of all sorts, if you will. Like, I love poetry, photography, graphic design, all things like that. My pronouns are she, they, and my orientation is queer.
Okay, perfect. So this is something I'm actually really excited to talk about, because as I have learned from having these conversations with a bunch of different people, I actually have a lot of friends who have identified as queer. But before I like decided to do this whole podcast, I didn't really understand what exactly that meant. And I'm very excited to have you on here and kind of talk through how you came to being like, ah, yes, this is where I fit the best, what it means to you, and so much more. So I would love to get into that. I would love to kind of know your own definition of what queer means.
Well, it's been a trial and error process. I've been out since 2015, and I didn't start off as queer. I first came out as bi, because that's what felt comfortable for me at the time. And then as you explore more and you experience more, I was like, okay, maybe I'm a lesbian. I tried that out for a bit. Didn't really fit. And then I came across the word queer. And you're right, there are so many different like definitions for the word queer. And that's why I kind of love it, because it doesn't fit you into one box. You can kind of define it in any way that you want. And for me, being queer it's freedom, because it's such a broad term and it doesn't put you in such a specific box. Like, don't get me wrong, people love like having their labels and things like that, and I do too. Queer is a really good term for me, because I never really knew how to define my attraction, like whether it's romantic, sexual, anything like that. It helps because it's so broad, you know what I mean? So I can define it however I want.
And I love that. I think that that's something that a lot of people have been saying recently, is that it just is so, like, the term queer is just so inclusive, and you can just be whatever, do whatever. And I think that's really amazing.
It is. And because sexuality is so fluid, it's like the perfect label for me, because I'm not just attracted to one kind of person, you know?
Absolutely. You briefly mentioned like sexuality and fluidity and all of that. And when you identify as queer, I would love to know kind of, I guess you kind of already answered the question. It's kind of just like an encompassing everything. I'm not sure exactly how much you know about pansexuality. I don't know a ton, but I'm wondering if you have anything to say about the differences, why you identify as queer over pan, if it's the same type of thing, or just any type of thoughts you have around that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm currently dating a pansexual woman, and I know for her it's important that when she identifies herself as pansexual, it's like, yeah, gender doesn't matter at all to her. And me identifying as queer, it's along the same lines as pansexual, but it's just a label that never really fit me. Like, I love queer because I saw a definition of it the other day. I can't remember where, but it says it's like an identity for those that also encompasses their own like gender identity. So it's not just sexuality. And for me, I recently changed my pronouns to she and they. So it was like the perfect accompaniment for my sexuality, like who I'm attracted to, as well as my gender identity.
Okay, that's really interesting. I have never heard that take on it. But now that you said that, that makes like a lot of sense, because I have heard a lot of other people be like, yes, I am queer, and then they self-actualize isn't the right word. They see it as themselves, and then also too as like a public facing presenter.
Exactly. And like, I can describe like who I'm attracted to in like great detail, but as far as my, like my gender identity, not a clue. So it's like the perfect word, because I can say I'm queer. And anyone can ask what it means, and I can give any kind of definition to it.
And I love that. So I would kind of love to go a little bit more, I guess, like rewind a little bit back to where you said you were originally bisexual, and then you identified mm-hmm. this other situation, and now you identify as queer. Was there like a turning point for that at all? Was there like, you just like discovered the word and you're like, this is great? Or was there like some self-research or anything? I would love to know.
Mm-hmm. So I came out in high school around like 11th grade, and I just got out of a relationship with a guy. And that was the reason why I broke up with him, because I was like, there's something different here. So years went on. I didn't really date until I left high school. And then I had another boyfriend for about a year and a half. So going into like 2017, 2018. And I've heard your story before. And something that also resonated with me was that I had never like really been out with girls, even tried like flirting with girls up until after I broke up with that boyfriend, or mm-hmm. that boyfriend broke up with me. It was kind of just like time to go. I started exploring that side of me more. And as soon as I went on like my first couple dates with different girls, there was no going back to men. I was like, this feels a lot more right than anything that I've done before. Then as I kept going through that, I was like, okay, maybe I'm a lesbian. But then it worked for a while, don't get me wrong. But when I discovered the word queer, it fit me so perfectly, because I define my attraction towards other people in like terms of like femininity. Like, I love people who exert like so much like beautiful femininity. And it's like non-binary people, even men that you see who aren't like, you know, like the tough, like, yeah, let's go get a beer with the guys, like uh-huh. those kind of people. And then like, including like literally anybody. So that's how I kind of came across it. That was honestly only a recent discovery of mine, like within the last couple of months that I put like the two and two together. But yeah, it was just all about like time and getting more experience. Sounds like a job, but gaining more experience and finding what's comfortable for me. And yeah, I've landed on queer.
I love that. We actually did have somebody else come on the podcast talking about like effeminate men and that kind of thing. So I love that you kind of went a little bit deeper into that, because I think that's really interesting and very much so kind of, I'm like reading up on the definition
of queer, like on a couple of like actual national organizations right now. Mm-hmm. And they're saying that like queer is often a broad rejection of labels and says, oh, there was one point of it that was really good. Hold on. Let me skim very quickly. It says, in this context, could be a rejection of any type of label. Most often refers to Most often refers to a rejection of labels for gender and sexual orientation, which I think is cool because it's kind of just like saying, I am here, this is me, this is it, but still having like some type of label.
Exactly. Like labels work for some people, they don't work for other people. And there are, like, it's good that there are so many different labels within the community that there is probably a one for you. And even then, you don't have to use it. Like, nobody has to use a label to define their gender, sexuality, anything.
Absolutely. And so a final question that I would love to ask you, I am on this like little website right now and they're breaking down obviously the entire acronym. And it's funny because they have queer/questioning on here. And I would love to kind of know your thoughts on it being a slash, because I feel like from the conversations that I've been having with people who identify as queer, they're not questioning if they are like along the spectrum. They're just like, I am queer. So I would love to kind of just know your personal thoughts on that.
I have seen that before too. I think like queer/questioning, I'd like to think that it's just there. It's not in like a slash in terms of like either or. It's a slash in terms of like, this is here, but this is also here. So if you're questioning, you're may not necessarily be queer. It could be any of the other identities, but I'm kind of glad that it's there because it gives something for the people who are questioning, who don't exactly know what they identify as, if they want to identify as anything.
Okay, cool. I love that. And before we go, I would love for you to share with the people where they can find you, anything that you're doing right now that they can support you on. I would love for you to plug yourself right now.
Okay, so I've never gotten to do this before. This is the first podcast I've been on, so that's really cool. My Instagram is Diana A. Ricciardi, like Ricciardi. And I have an upcoming small business that I'm currently working on called After Sunrise, like After Sun and R-E-Y-E-S. So look out for that.
But that's awesome. Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. And I really appreciate you having this conversation with me and also with everybody else.
I'm really thankful that you're doing this series this month because it gives so many people like the chance to like voice their experiences, and that's one of the most important things that we need in the queer community right now.
Thank you so much
for this opportunity.
That is it for today's episode. I really hope you guys enjoyed it. If you did, make sure to screenshot this episode and share it over on Instagram and tag me at Hey Bitches Podcast. I would absolutely love to chat shit with you guys in the DMs about today's episode. Before you go, make sure to check out the show notes to see all of the links of everything that everybody talked about, and make sure to go support them online, offline, wherever you can. Make sure to subscribe to Hey Bitches wherever you listen to podcasts, and if you are an Apple Podcast listener, make sure to give the show a 5-star rating and review. It really does help me out, and I would really appreciate it. I love you guys so much. I hope you guys have an incredible day, and for now, bye-bye, bitch.